American military interrogation techniques are coming under scrutiny again today as details emerge about the death of an Iraqi major general who was being questioned by his American captors when he died. Major General Abed Hamoud Mhawish died after being stuffed into a sleeping bag and tied up with electrical wire by American soldiers trying to get information from him. According to classified documents, 2 days earlier, the 56-year-old Iraqi had been beaten senseless by a CIA-sponsored group of Iraqi paramilitaries working with American interrogators. This all took place in November of 2003 in Qayyim, Iraq, at the same time the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse was happening near Baghdad. Reporter Josh White of The Washington Post has been reporting on this story, and he joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What were the circumstances leading to the death of this Iraqi prisoner?
Essentially, what happened was the general turned himself in to a U.S. base in northwestern Iraq near the Syrian border. From what we can tell, essentially to secure the release of his sons, who had been arrested days earlier, they were trying to get a lot of information out of him because they believed he was a very high-ranking member of Saddam's former army, that he was involved in a number of attacks in the Qayyim area, and that he had a lot of knowledge about what had happened. In fact, their information at the time was that he had met with Saddam himself not long before his capture. And in the process, they were interrogating him. They found him to be uncooperative, began to escalate their tactics to try to break him down, and ultimately, as we learned, turned him over to a group of Iraqi paramilitaries trained by the CIA and working with the CIA and the U.S. government, who really beat him severely in the days before the ultimate interrogation, where he died in the sleeping bag.
And this sleeping bag death, this was an approved technique to put uncooperative prisoners in a sleeping bag?
Well, officers at the facility and officers with the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment believed that this was an approved technique. It was a technique that was discussed in the months and weeks leading up to this incident as one of the things that interrogators wanted to use as part of what they called a claustrophobic technique, something to put someone in very close quarters, make them feel uncomfortable, make them feel vulnerable, and then ultimately hoping that it would get them to talk. This technique was used as part of what interrogators generally call a fear-up approach, which is something that's included in the Army Field Manual.
And tell us more about the CIA-sponsored group of Iraqis carrying out the interrogation.
This was a group that was codenamed the Scorpions. They were a group of Iraqi nationals who were recruited prior to the war to make it look like there was a rebellion building against the government there. There's a lot of questions about their success and how well they were doing that after the invasion. They were used in a variety of capacities, and at least in this one case, we know that they were brought in to work on the general.
And this all came to light how?
Well, in the course of looking at the detainee deaths, as there have been a number, the general's case came up and really held a lot of interest for a lot of reasons. One, because it was done during an interrogation. Two, because of his relative high rank within Saddam's military. But also, it's the subject of a court case, so that there have been some partially open hearings in the case. And in the course of that, we really wanted to pursue the details, what led up to it. And as well, when we came across this paramilitary group, we really wanted to press forward because it was something that we had not heard of before.
And in the court case, who is on trial and what are they being charged with?
Well, there are two warrant officers, chief warrant officers, who are charged with murder, dereliction of duty, among other things, who were accused of being directly involved in his actual death within the sleeping bag. There are two other Army soldiers, a linguist and a mechanic who was retrained as a guard, who have also been named as part of the case, but they have not been referred to trial. Their potential punishments are still hanging in the balance. At this point, the Army within the military justice system has chosen to go after essentially the four people who were in the room or nearby when he died. A lot of the proceedings have been either closed to reporters or the transcripts have been redacted retroactively to essentially prevent the mention of the CIA or the group that was there or what happened in the days before from coming out.
And so what does the defense say, that these men are innocent and that the CIA was in part responsible for this man's death?
Well, to this point, they've been arguing that this sleeping bag technique was an approved method. It was something that had been discussed. It was something that officers at the facility believed was effective and appropriate, and that these skilled interrogators were using what they had at their disposal to try to get actionable intelligence at a very important time of the war. In fact, initially, the commander of the unit did not recommend punishing these soldiers for this activity, believing that the beatings in the days leading up to his death, as well as the approved techniques, were not worthy of criminal charges.
And what is the CIA saying?
Well, the CIA declined to comment on this case. And at this point, you know, what we've learned has largely been, you know, along with my colleague Dana Priest, has been in talking to officials who are familiar with the program. You know, the success of this group was limited. It's unclear exactly how widespread these interrogations were, how often they were involved in interrogations. But we do know, at least in this case, they suspect that they were heavily involved in this general's case.
And are they still carrying out interrogations in Iraq, or do we not know that?
It's unclear exactly what their role is today.
Josh White is a reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.